section, counsels often repeated, the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Warnings and counsels given to the Battle Creek Church. The article in this chapter was published in leaflet form and distributed to the members of the Battle Creek Church in 1894, 95, and 1898. Granville, New South Wales, July 20, 1894. I wish to remind my brethren of the cautions and warnings that have been given me in reference to the constantly investing means in Battle Creek in order to make a little more room or to make things more convenient. New fields are to be entered. The truth is to be proclaimed as a witness to all nations. The work is hindered so that the banner of truth cannot be uplifted as it should be in these new fields. While our brethren in America feel at liberty to invest means in buildings, which time will reveal that they would do just as well and even better without, thousands of dollars are thus absorbed that the Lord called for to be used in regions beyond. I have presented the warnings and the caution as the word of the Lord, but my heart has been made sad to see that notwithstanding all these, means has been swallowed up to satisfy these supposed wants. Building has been added to building, so the money could not be used in places where they have no conveniences, no building for the public worship of God or to give character to the work, no place where the banner of truth could be uplifted. These things I have set before you, and yet you have gone on just the same, absorbing means, God's means, in one locality, when the Lord has spoken that too much was already invested in one place, which meant that there was nothing in other places where there should be buildings and facilities to make even a beginning. What call have you to invest thousands of dollars in additional school buildings? You suppose that this outlay was needed, but did not entreaties come to you not to invest money thus? The time of the end. I was shown that a terrible condition of things exists in our world. The angel of mercy is folding her wings, ready to depart. Already the Lord's restraining power is being withdrawn from the earth, and Satan is seeking to stir up the various elements in the religious world, leading men to place themselves under the training of the great deceiver, who works with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in the children of disobedience. Already the inhabitants of the earth are marshaling under the leading of the Prince of Darkness, and this is but the beginning of the end. The law of God is made void. We see and hear of confusion and perplexity, want and famine, earthquakes and floods. Terrible outrages will be committed by men. Passion, not reason, bears sway. The wrath of God is upon the inhabitants of the world, who are fast becoming as corrupt as were the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Already fire and flood are destroying thousands of lives, and the property that has been selfishly accumulated by the oppression of the poor. The Lord is soon to cut short his work and put an end to sin. Oh, that the scenes which have come before me of the iniquities practiced in these last days might make a deep impression on the minds of God's professing people. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall be revealed. The Lord is removing his restrictions from the earth, and soon there will be death and destruction, increasing crime and cruel evil working against the rich who have exalted themselves against the poor. Those who are without God's protection will find no safety in any place or position. Human agents are being trained and are using their inventive power to put in operation the most powerful machinery to wound and to kill. Instead of our enlarging and erecting additional buildings in Battle Creek or other places where our institutions are already established, there should be a limiting of the wants. Let the means and the workers be scattered to represent the truth and give the warning message in regions beyond. Help in time of trouble. When the children of Israel were journeying through the wilderness, the Lord protected them from venomous serpents. But the time came when, because of Israel's transgression, impenitence, and stubbornness, the Lord removed his restraining power from these reptiles, and many of the people were bitten and died. Then it was that the brazen serpent was uplifted, that all who repented and looked to it in faith might live. In the time of confusion and trouble before us, a time of trouble such as has not been since there was a nation, the uplifted Savior will be presented to the people in all lands, that all who look to Him in faith may live. A failure to honor God. In view of the terrible crisis before us, what are those doing who profess to believe the truth? I was called by my guide who said, "Follow me." I was shown things among our people that were not in accordance with their faith. There seemed to be a bicycle craze. Money was spent to gratify an enthusiasm in this direction that might better, far better, have been invested in building houses of worship where they are greatly needed. There were presented before me some very strange things in Battle Creek. A bewitching influence seemed to be passing as a wave over people there, and I saw that this would be followed by other temptations. Satan works with intensity of purpose to induce our people to invest their time and money in gratifying supposed wants. This is a species of idolatry. The example will be followed, and while hundreds are starving for bread, while famine and pestilence are seen and felt, because God cannot, according to His own name's glory, protect those who are working contrary to His will, shall those who profess to love and serve God act as did the people in the days of Noah, following the imagination of their hearts? While you have been gratifying your inclination in the appropriation of money, God's money, for which you must give an account, missionary work has been hindered and bound about for want of means and workers to plant the banner of truth in places where the people have never heard the message of warning. Will God say to those who are selfishly pleasing their own imagination and gratifying their own desires, "Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord"? Matthew 25:23. My brethren and sisters in Battle Creek, what kind of witness are you bearing to an unbelieving world? I have been shown that the Lord does not look upon your course with favor, for your practice contradicts your profession. You are not doers of the words of Christ. I was told by my guide, "Look ye and behold the idolatry of my people to whom I have been speaking, rising up early and presenting to them their dangers. I looked that they should bring forth fruit. There were some who were striving for the mastery, each trying to excel the other in the swift running of their bicycles. There was a spirit of strife and contention among them as to which should be the greatest. The spirit was similar to that manifested in the baseball games on the college ground. Said my guide, "These things are an offense to God. Both near and afar off, souls are perishing for the bread of life and the water of salvation." When Satan is defeated in one line, he will be already with other schemes and plans which will appear attractive and needful, and which will absorb money and thought and encourage selfishness, so that he can overcome those who are so easily led into a false and selfish indulgence. The question arises, what burden do these persons carry for the advancement or the work of God? Wherein do they realize the importance of the work for this time? Christ said to His disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Is this investment of means and this spinning of bicycles through the streets of Battle Creek giving evidence of the genuineness of your faith in the last solemn warning to be given to human beings standing on the very verge of the eternal world? My brethren and sisters in America, I make my appeal to you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. The lives of many are too delicate and dainty. They know nothing of bearing hardships or as good soldiers of Christ. They are hindrances to the work of soul saving. They have many wants. Everything must be convenient and easy to suit their taste. They will not do anything themselves, and those who would do something, they hinder by their suppositions and imaginary wants and their love of idols. They think themselves Christians, but they do not know what practical Christian life signifies. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to be Christ-like. When the Lord sees His people restricting their imaginary wants and practicing self-denial, not in a mournful, regretful spirit as Lot's wife left Sodom, but joyfully for Christ's sake and because it is the right thing to do, The work will go forward with power. Let nothing, however dear, however loved, absorb your mind and affections, diverting you from the study of God's Word or from earnest prayer. Watch unto prayer. Live your own request. Cooperate with God by working in harmony with Him. Expel from the soul temple everything that assumes the form of an idol. Now is God's time, and His time is your time. Fight the good fight of faith, refusing to think or to talk unbelief. The world is to hear the last warning message. Our duty to the world. Granville, New South Wales, 1894. There should be a decided change in the spirit and character of the work in the places where men and women have received increased light. What are they doing to warn those who do not understand that the Lord is soon coming? Behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Isaiah 26:21. Who, I ask, is carrying a burden for the souls that are perishing out of Christ? Who will go forth without the camp, bearing the reproach? Who will leave pleasant homes and dear ties of relationship and carry the precious light of truth to far-off lands? Every day, every moment, comes to those to whom have been entrusted the light of truth, weighted with terrible significance, that men and women in every land are preparing themselves for weal or for woe, fixing their destiny for eternity. God has made amazing sacrifices for human beings. He has expended mighty energy to reclaim man from transgression and sin to loyalty and obedience. But I have been shown that He does nothing without the cooperation of human agencies. Every endowment of grace and power and efficiency has been liberally provided. The strongest motives have been presented to arouse and keep alive in the human heart the missionary spirit, that efforts of divine and human agencies may be combined. But what have our people done in regard to moving out of Battle Creek to carry the light to regions where the standard has never yet been planted? Did not the Lord at the recent conference open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? What use have you made of the gift of God? He has supplied you with a motive force of action, that with patience and hope and untiring vigilance you might set forth Christ and Him crucified, calling men to repent of their sins, sounding the note of warning that Christ is soon to come with power and great glory. If the members of the Battle Creek Church do not arouse now and go to work in missionary fields, they will fall back into death-like slumber. How did the Holy Spirit work upon your hearts? Were you not inspired to exercise the talents God has given you, that every man and woman and youth should employ them to set forth the truth for this time, making personal efforts, going into the cities where the truth has never been proclaimed, and lifting up the standard? God's encouraging message of mercy should be proclaimed in the cities of America. Men and women living in these cities are rapidly becoming more and still more entangled in their business relations. They are acting wildly in the erection of buildings whose towers reach high into the heavens. Their minds are filled with schemes and ambitious devisings. God is bidding every one of His ministering servants cry aloud, "Spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." Isaiah 58:1. Let us thank the Lord that there are a few laborers doing everything possible to raise up some memorials for God in our neglected cities. Let us remember that it is our duty to give these workers encouragement. God is displeased with the lack of appreciation and support shown our faithful workers in our large cities by His people in our own land. The work in the home field is a vital problem just now. The present time is a most favorable opportunity that we shall have to work these fields. In a little while, the situation will be much more difficult. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because of the guilt and obstinacy of His chosen people. He weeps also over the hard-heartedness of those who, professing to be co-workers with Him, are content to do nothing. Are those who should appreciate the value of souls carrying with Christ a burden of heaviness and constant sorrow mingled with tears for the wicked cities of the earth? The destruction of these cities, almost wholly given up to idolatry, is impending. In the great day of final reckoning, what answer can be given for neglecting to enter these cities now? while carrying forward the work in America, may the Lord help us to give to other countries the attention that they ought to have, so that the workers in these fields will not be bound about, unable to leave memorials for God in many places. Let us not allow too many advantages to be absorbed in this country. Let us not continue to neglect our duty toward the millions living in other lands. Let us gain a better understanding of the situation and redeem the past. My brethren and sisters in America, it may be that in lifting up your eyes to see afar off fields white under the harvest, you will receive into your own hearts the abundant grace of God. You who through unbelief have been spiritually poor will through personal labor become rich in good works. You will no longer starve your souls in the midst of plenty, but will appropriate the good things God has in store for you. When you begin to realize how destitute of means the laborers are to carry forward the work in foreign fields, you will do what you can to help, and your souls will begin to revive, your spiritual appetite will become healthy, and your mind will be refreshed with the Word of God, which is a leaf from the tree of life for the healing of the nations. In answer to the Lord's inquiry, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah responded, "Here am I, send me," Isaiah 6:8. You, my brother, my sister, may not be able to go into the Lord's vineyard yourself, but you may furnish the means to send others. Thus you will be putting your money out to the exchangers, and when the Master comes, you will be able to return to Him His own with usury. Your means can be used to send forth and sustain the messengers of God, who by voice and by influence will give the message, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight." Matthew 5:3. Plans are being made for the advancement of the cause, and now is your time to work. If you work with self-denial, doing what you can to further the advancement of the cause in new fields, the Lord will help and strengthen and bless you. Trust in the assurance of His presence, which sustains you and which is light and life. Do all for love of Jesus and the precious souls for whom He has died. Work with a pure, divinely inwrought purpose to glorify God. The Lord sees and understands, and He will use you despite your weakness if you offer your talent as a consecrated gift to His service. For in active, disinterested service, the weak become strong and enjoy His precious commendation. The joy of the Lord is an element of strength. If you are faithful, the peace that passeth all understanding will be your reward in this life, and in the future life you will enter into the joy of your Lord. January 23, 1903. I must write something in regard to the way in which our cities in America have been passed by and neglected. Cities in which the truth has not been proclaimed. The message must be given to the thousands of foreigners living in these cities in the home field. I cannot understand why our people have so little burden to take up the work that the Lord has for years been keeping before me, the work of giving the message of present truth in the southern states. Few have felt that upon them rested the responsibility of taking hold of this work. Our people have failed to enter new territory and to work the cities in the south. Over and over again the Lord has presented the needs of this field without any special results. I have sometimes felt as if I could no longer bear the burden of this work. I thought that if men should continue to neglect this work, I would let matters drift and pray that the Lord would have mercy upon the ignorant and those who are out of the way. But the Lord has a controversy with our ministers and people, and I must speak, placing upon them the burden of the southern work in the cities of our land. Who feels heavily burdened to see the message proclaimed in greater New York and in the many cities as yet unworked? Not all the means that can be gathered up is to be sent from America to distant lands. While in the home field, there exist such providential opportunities to present the truth to millions who have never heard it. Among these millions are the representatives of many nations, many of whom are prepared to receive the message. Much remains to be done within the shadow of our doors in the cities of California, New York, and many other states. God says to His people, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Isaiah 60:1. Why then do they feel so little burden to plant the standard of truth in new places? Why do they not obey the word? Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Luke 12:33. Why do they not return to the Lord his own to be invested in heavenly merchandise? Why is there not a more earnest call for volunteers to enter the whitening harvest field? Unless more is done than has been done for the cities of America, ministers and people will have a heavy account to settle with the one who has appointed to every man his work. We repeat the prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. Are we doing our part to answer this prayer? We profess to believe that the commission which Christ gave to his disciples is given also to us. Are we fulfilling it? May God forgive our terrible neglect in not doing the work that as yet we have scarcely touched with the tips of our fingers. When will this work be done? It makes my heart sick and sore to see such blindness on the part of the people of God. There are thousands in America perishing in ignorance and sin, and looking afar off to some distant field. Those who know the truth are indifferently passing by the needy fields close.